It is 10 to 6, almost 9 to 6, and it used to be you didn't have to worry about viruses or malware if you had a Mac. And some people still believe Apple products have some sort of superpowers to protect them, but sadly, that's not the case. And the federal government's own website, Stay Smart Online, is warning that a link being distributed over social media is reportedly directing Apple users to a malicious website which crashes Safari web browsers. Still Garion is a writer, commentator, podcaster, and interested in big picture internet issues, especially security, cybercrime, and hoovering up the bull dust. And as we like doing that as champions here on Statewide Drive, he joins us to talk about this. Still Garion, hello.
Pleasure to join a like-minded spirit, Fiona.
Thank you very much. Is this malware serious?
It's not serious this time in that it doesn't actually do anything dangerous. It just has the problem of having to restart your phone. But there's the potential for people to put malicious payloads into it or manipulate the phone in some other way once they've got it to, in this case, overheat and have to switch itself off.
Okay, so it switches itself off. So if you were working on a Mac at home, say, and you had documents you hadn't finished or you were editing a film or doing some sort of clever work, you'd lose it?
Yeah, it depends a little on the timing and on the specifics of the software you're using. But the potential for this just by crashing a device to cause problems is now we're starting to use phones for all sorts of things to prove who we are, like using your phone to pay for something in a shop, using cardless withdrawal at an ATM by having your phone with you and your bank knows the phone is in the same place as the ATM and the transaction's legitimate. It does start to build an attack into your private data can be built using a number of elements. But in this case, it's more an annoying one, and I'm pretty sure that the reason why it's actually been known for about a year, and because it's not critical, it hasn't been fixed yet, it's just an inconvenience. But it's kicking off just after the Christmas break, so my guess is, kids who like going, ha-ha, I crashed your phone, have learned a new trick, and so we're seeing a new wave of it going around.
Now, just for a second then, you were crystal clear. And the rest of our conversation has been a little bit, mobile phone muffled.
Father, yeah.
And when I spoke to you earlier today, it was crystal clear. And you are, of course, in the Blue Mountains. You're not.
I'm sitting looking out across a valley full of eucalypt forests.
Near Wentworth Falls.
Yes.
And you were explaining to me that there's ways to make your mobile phone clearer.
Yeah, look, I noticed this. I happen to use an iPhone myself, but I use Android devices as well, so happened to notice this setting the other day, that when it came out of the box, it said if you're in a 4G area for mobile data, yes, it will use the high-speed data when it's available, but it won't necessarily use that 4G facility for your phone conversations. And there was a setting buried down in the phone that allowed me to turn that on as well. And the advantage there is it uses more bandwidth to provide a better quality phone call. I imagine the reason you might not want to do that is that the better quality phone call will use your battery faster.
And I'm thinking that everyone's got home now since we spoke.
<That's right.
laughs> And so your data's gone.
The thing to remember, switching it over, is that when you use 4G for voice, it's no longer all of the phone protocols up to 3G. It was the phone call was the primary thing, and the data was just something in the background used when the phone call wasn't using it. In 4G, no, the voice call that I'm talking to you on now is just another data stream coming out of the phone. So if your phone decides that it's time to check Instagram or something else, it could affect the phone call. And as you rightly pointed out, it's now in the evening. Kids are home. People are, this is one of the intense times for using mobile data.
Indeed. Tell us what happened in China, because they have speed problems, don't they? Especially downloading from the States.
That's right, because China's internet is heavily censored. There is monitoring going on constantly so that if you say, on your telephone calls or in an email or on a forum posting, use words like democracy or corruption or anything that might begin to be like even the start of a criticism of the government, you will find that your connection suddenly dies for a moment or whatever. It's Chinese name, but it's called in the West the Great Firewall of China. And when anyone's downloading software from overseas, that is outside China, it just takes so long to download because it's going through all of this checking. So what happened is that some criminals in China got copies of the development software that programmers use if they're making software applications for the iPhone and iPad and put them up on a site. So look, you can download these from within China, it'll be much faster. And, you know, that's convenience, right?
Mm-hmm. I would have done it.
Yeah, well, yeah, but of course the criminals didn't do this out of the goodness of their heart. They infected that software with malware. So that as these developers were developing their iPhone apps, their iPhone apps had malicious code inserted into them, which could get personal details off the person's phone and send it to the criminal. But from Apple's point of view, this software looks like it was uploaded from their software, from a legitimate developer, and all of their digital certificates proving that they were authorized to make for iPhone software. So these applications, these infected applications, ended up in Apple's official app store for their iDevices. First, Apple said, oh, yeah, there's 39 we found, and then not long after, well, actually, it's 344, and not long after, there's about 4,000 infected apps on the store. So that's how the infection can spread through the community. And it's fascinating for two ways. One is, as you said in your introduction, these elements which are starting to remind people that Apple's devices don't have any magic. In fact, although 10 years ago, 15 years ago, absolutely certain Apple's software was better quality and more secure than Microsoft's Windows. That fact was 10 or 15 years ago. Microsoft put in an enormous engineering effort to catch up, and it worked. Apple, meanwhile, has continued to be lucky. But the other factor that affected it is when Macs only had 5% or 4% of the desktop computer market, the criminals are making plenty of money out of the Windows users. Why double that effort for just another couple of percent?
I liked what they actually called what happened in China with the downloading and taking the shortcut, a watering hole attack.
Yes, this is something that the information security community uses to describe an attack where you don't go directly to try and attack the target. You attack a place that everyone in your target group will go, like wildebeests gathering around the waterhole at sunset. And so if you want to, let's say, produce, in this case, infected iPhone apps, like you don't try and hack Apple. That would be very difficult. But you try and infect the individual developers who are then authorized to go and put stuff into Apple's network.
Yes.
It comes from the same idea, like if you want to spy on what a company is doing. You don't try and sneak into the company. You know, you find out where the engineers go for a drink after work.
And listen to their conversations over the beer. Look, fascinating talking to you. Thank you very much for your time today.
Pleasure, Fiona.
Stilgherrian joining us. And Stilgherrian is a writer, a commentator, podcaster, interested in big picture internet, particularly cyber.